Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good. Good to have you here. You know,
thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. And on today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, the World Series, as right now the Dodgers are trailing the Red Sox 0-2 in this year's World Series. We're also going to talk about the current state of the Jets and the Giants, you know, after the Giants made some moves in the past couple of days. We're also going to talk about the Knicks, current state of the Knicks, and also the Mets GM search, how that's going on so far. And then we're going to end it with a little WWE news with the shocking Roman Reigns relinquishing the title due to his battle with leukemia. And then we'll give our predictions and thoughts about the upcoming Evolution event. But most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. But you know, let's just jump right into let's jump into the Giants talk. And Big Blue, you know, they've had a really tough season this year. There's no other way of saying it. It's been brutal. You know, the Giants have been having two horrible seasons back to back. You know, as a result, you know, they got a new GM in Gettleman and a new head coach in Shermer. And they both are off to a horrible start right now. They're 1-6. And, you know, the Giants, you know, as a result, the Giants trade away, you know, Damian Snacks Harrison and Eli Apple. And to make matters worse, they're going to be battling their old rival, the Washington Redskins, this Sunday. So what's your thoughts on, you know, the Giants rebuilding, you know, and whether or not if this will this, you know, result in Eli Manning not retiring as a Giant? What's your thoughts on the whole state of the Giants?
Well, I mean, you know, the season's pretty much lost at this point, you know. They're, 1-5, 1-6, whatever their record is right now. You know, O-line's been playing terrible. I mean, Eli played well in that last game against the Falcons. So it wasn't his fault, but the offensive line's terrible. I mean, we probably have one of the worst offensive lines in football right now. You know, they can't protect anybody. And, you know, they don't allow the wide receivers to get open, and that's why Eli can't throw the ball half the time to these wide receivers. So there should be much blame put on this line. And, you know, come this offseason, you know, management's going to have to, like, get some offensive linemen, you know, some good ones to start. But, yeah, I mean, right now, you know, the Giants are pretty much playing for high draft picks at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like some of the moves. They don't want to get rid of a guy like Eli Apple, but, you know, right now they just got to rebuild, get some draft picks. They traded Eli Apple for a draft pick, traded Damon Harrison to the Lions for a fifth-round pick. And, you know, looks like, you know, this upcoming draft we're going to just have to, you know, select a quarterback, you know, just in case. You know, who knows what happens to Eli Manning after the season. Maybe they bring him back. Maybe they force him to resign, you know, or train him. I don't know. I don't know what the future lies right now. But you know, right now, the rebuilding has started. And, you know, they still have young guys. You know, Saquon Barkley, they have Beckham. They have pieces to build around right now, so they could turn this thing around pretty fast next year. But as for this year, it's a lost season.
Yeah, would you say this is your worst era in Giants history since you've been following them?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, this is by far the worst. These last 2 years, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I've seen Giants seasons where they've won 7 or 8 games, you know, but at least they were competitive in a lot of those games. But last 2 seasons, the Giants have been unrecognizable almost.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So.
I know the season is early, even though basically the season is done, obviously. But which season do you think is worse, last year or so far this year?
I mean, last year, they won, 3 games last year?
Yeah, I think they won 3.
They have one win now. It's possible they might match that record of 3-10. It's getting close. It's getting close. I mean, the one highlight we've seen has been Saquon Barkley, seeing him play, and seeing him emerge as one of the top running backs in football. I can't really tell right now. I will have to just wait till the season, progresses. Yeah, and then we can determine that. But I still say last season probably the worst I've seen ever.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. 2 words. Well, I'll even say 3 words. Eli Manning demotion. That says it right there. I mean, the whole debacle of that, they bench him for 1 game and his streak, and then they put him back, and, it's just been, the whole morale, the whole prestige of the Giants organization took a hit for that. Because Giants usually do the right things, front office-wise, and, they project a sort of professionalism and class to their organization, but benching Eli and you don't have nobody else better, like Geno Smith at the time. I mean, that was such a bad move. If you're gonna do a move like that, I equated to your Yankees team from long, long time ago. They had Wally Pipp, who was a Hall of Fame first baseman. They gave him a day off. They put in Lou Gehrig, and he's never Wally Pipp has never played ever since. So you better have a Lou Gehrig, backing up, And I mean, another move I didn't think they should have did was, get rid of, really waving Webb, which the Jets, signed up, because the Giants were high on him, and the Giants should have had a backup plan, for Eli. Obviously, Eli is the choice. He's a Hall of Famer. He's arguably one of the greatest Giants, if not the greatest Giants, of all time. Quarterback. So, you gotta let the guy. Gotta let the guy see. And he looks like he still has enough left in him. With a little better team. The team could be a 500 team. At the minimum. But, everything is not going the Giants' way right now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the rebuild was necessary. They need to get draft picks, and they need to get younger. They got to give Eli a shot, one more hurrah. Obviously, it's not going to happen this year, but they definitely need to rebuild or retool, in the sense get as much picks as they can. Trading on some people that they don't see a future with them. And, go through the free agency of course, get the high pick and draft the quarterback with it. That's what they need to do to improve this team.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, shifting gears because, the league, in every league, it's not the same when the New York teams aren't doing good. You need all the New York teams doing well. In order for that, to have that buzz, that playoff buzz, in my opinion. And shifting gears, you have, the Jets. They've been playing well up until last week, where Darnold had his worst, his worst outing as a rookie so far. And, you know, he's going to be battling a tough test, you know, when he goes to Soldier Field and battle those Bears. What's your thoughts on what's going to happen with the Bears and the Jets season so far?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough test for him, for Jets. You know, the Bears have been playing real well. You know, they got a good young quarterback. You know, their defense is pretty well this year. Good young wide receiver core. So it's going to be a tough test for but right now Jets are a little banged up. You know, they're Nunez injured.
Bilal Powell, I think he's going to be out for the rest of the year, I heard.
Yeah, and I heard also the skinny one with the dreads. I forget his name. Right?
Oh, Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson, yeah, he might be injured also, I hear. I don't know. We'll have to see game time if he plays or not. But, yeah, they're a little banged up right now, so.
Yeah, they're almost like the Mets or the cast of The Walking Dead. I mean, there are injuries everywhere, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely need to improve on that. They signed a wide receiver, I think, from Tennessee.
Oh, really?
2 days ago. It might have served me right. I think he had issues with his team, and he forced his release.
Really? Oh. Okay.
But you know, Jets signed him. You know, hopefully they can. You know, he'll be motivated to turn it around with the Jets.
Yeah, definitely. That should be interesting to see how he plays.
Yeah, no doubt about that for sure. You know, Jets need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you were saying about Robbie Anderson, he has an ankle sprain. His status is unclear for the upcoming game with the Bears.
Yeah. If they want to beat the Bears, they're gonna have to they're gonna have to be healthy.
Yeah, and and plus they're hoping, you know, the new Jets wide receiver, Rishard Matthews, you know, could get that spark, you know, after he got released by the Titans. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. He's going to have a tough test in that hostile territory in Chicago. So,
oh, yeah.
Hopefully they can get the W and the season at 4-4, hopefully. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And then shifting gears with the Mets. Mets so far, their GM search has been narrowed down to two different men, and one of them is Chaim Bloom. You know, he's I think the GM of the Tampa Bay Rays. Excuse me, and then you have the super agent, Brody Van Wagen. So it was announced earlier today. Those are the top two guys who's going to be the next manager of the next general manager of the Mets.
Wow! Congrats.
Yeah, I mean, and the shocker is they cut Doug Melvin, who you know, he's a veteran guy. He was viewed as the favorite, you know, because he's a veteran. He's like 66 years old. He was a GM of the Rangers and the Brewers. But, what was I going to say? But, yeah, he stepped down from the Brewers 3 years ago because he felt, you know, it's a young man's game. You know, he should step down. And, you know, basically, the Brewers have been doing well up until, you know, the Dodgers eliminated them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Brewers haven't been this good since, 82. The Harvey Wallbanger Brewers, when they lost to the Cardinals in 82. But with Craig Counsell, you know, a former player of theirs, obviously most notably with the D-backs during their late 90s, early 2000, you know, obviously got the title in 2001 with the D-backs. You know, he's been a good manager so far. But
congrats to them, you know, hopefully able to change things around for the Mets organization.
Absolutely. So with the Mets, Chaim Bloom, you know, he was credited to having a 90-win team with the Rays, you know, battling the two behemoths in the AL East, you know, the Yankees and the potential World Series champion Red Sox right now. So, you know, he has a lot of potential. You know, he's, you know, the Rays senior VP of baseball operations. He, you know, he has, you know, he's 35 years old, which, I mean, basically our age. And you know, he's made a lot of moves. You know, they think he mixes analytics with old school style baseball. So he should be the best choice. And then you have Brody Van Wagen, who he's a super agent. He has, you know, he's the agent of a lot of Mets players like Cespedes, DeGrom, you know, a bunch of players. So he has a good rapport with the players, you know, in the league. But the problem is there's a conflict of interest since he's a super agent. It's going to be strange for him to make that transition from per agent to, you know, a potential GM where he has, you know, a lot of insider information on the players. And, you know, if there's an arbitration eligibility, he would be the perfect guy to know their, you know, flaws, you know, to prevent them from getting a raise or whatnot.
So wow.
It would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, how the dynamic would change if he went from super agent to GM. So if you ask me who I think, because they believe that the Mets should reveal their answer probably before the end of this month. And I would say if I would choose, if I was in the Wilpons' ear, I would tell them to pick Chaim Bloom because, you know, he got a lot of potential. You know, he has experience, you know, managing a major league roster in the very competitive AL East, you know, with the Red Sox and the Yankees battling out. You know, if it wasn't for those two teams, they would have been the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I think give him a shot, see what he could do. And if I was
– see what he's got.
Yeah, and I would say if he's interested, I would suggest to him, hey, maybe hire Doug Melvin as an advisor. If he wants,
yeah,
you know, have that old guy to, you know, give him some feedback. But you know, hey, I hope they hire Bloom because he's the right man for the job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And other Mets news, Franklin Colome, the guy who they traded Asdrubal Cabrera for, you know. I think right after the trading deadline, he, you know, he's currently ranked fifth in the Mets minor league system. But, you know, they just announced earlier today that he had he's going to have Tommy John surgery, so he's going to miss all of 2019.
Oh, wow.
So he won't be able to pitch with the newly cemented Syracuse Mets. Mets made that announcement that they had like a 20-year deal with Syracuse. So the Syracuse team changed their name to Syracuse Mets. So
Syracuse
congratulations
Mets.
To the Mets.
What was the name before?
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot the name of the team. But basically for the past couple of years, the Mets were in Vegas. So it was crazy for them to try to get players. They had to plan it like days in advance for a player to go on like a crazy flight from Las Vegas all the way to New York, you know, to get them over there. And then not to mention Las Vegas Stadium is horrible from what I hear. It's a hitter's ballpark. And, you know, Mets is historically a pitching ballpark. you know, pitching team, pitching franchise. And, you know, it was an adjustment, not to mention, I think they might even have Dreyer over there, like Denver, if I'm not mistaken. I think I heard that. I'm not 100%
in,
sure.
In
Vegas.
Syracuse? Oh, Vegas.
No, in Vegas. So they've been
there for
several years. And then prior to that, they were in New Orleans, and then they were also with Buffalo about a decade ago. So it's good that they have a team in New York, and the ballpark they built, it looks like the dimensions is very similar to Citi Field, which I think is a great idea, because if you want a guy to perform at Citi Field, he should have the exact dimensions of the Major League ballpark, so that transition would be a lot better, because you don't want him to have a ballpark like Yankee Stadium or Citizens Bank Park, and then he goes to Citi Field where it's a pitcher's park,
right?
And then he can't produce. How come this guy isn't hitting 40 home runs a year?
Yeah.
Well, maybe because the ballpark, the dimensions are a whole lot different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. True.
But, hopefully it'll work out for the Mets. And, we'll see. Hopefully they can hire Bloom. Shifting gears with the Knicks. What was I going to say? The Warriors are coming to town. The Warriors are coming out to play.
Uh-oh.
And you know what that means? Two things, actually. One, a guaranteed Knicks loss. And two, the Durant to Nick rumors are heating up yet again. And
I wish people would give that a rest already. Like, come on, like, stop wishing players will come here already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just focus on the players that are here already.
Yeah, and that didn't stop some fans. They already built a billboard right across the street from MSG. And I don't know if you've seen it. I'm guessing you haven't. Basically, they have a drawing of KP, Kristaps Porzingis, and Durant wearing Knick uniforms, holding the trophy.
Yeah,
holding
that's a fantasy right there.
Yeah, man. I mean, the last time we held a trophy, we had arguably the greatest, that dream team that we had, man, on defense, Walt Clyde Frazier, Willis Reed, the Busher, Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Yeah.
All those great guys on that team. 73.
40 years ago. Almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, 45 years ago, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad, man. Knicks haven't won in forever, man. I would have a lot of respect for Durant if he would take his talents to New York and actually get himself out of the shadow of, Curry. Because if he comes to – just by him coming to New York, people are going to give him even more props than LeBron. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, we can remember. Unless if you're like a little kid, like you're like, 7 years old or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Like, you remember when the Lakers won their last title.
Right.
Knicks, on the other hand, man, you got to be in your 60s and 70s to remember the last time the Knicks won a title, or even the Jets for that matter, winning a title. So if he came over here just by him trying to make the commitment to come, because, I mean, we gave props to Stoudemire. Obviously, Stoudemire wasn't healthy, but he was one of the few star players that tried to put New York on his back, and we respect him for that, even though, he did have 100, and he had 101, he had 100 reasons, 100 million reasons why he signed with the Knicks, but, you could see he cared about the Knicks.
Yeah,
and we're hoping that Durant could do the same. But I mean, but unfortunately, Durant, like I think it was last year or 2 years ago, he said he would never sign with the Knicks. So If someone would say that themselves, I have to believe them. I mean, the culture of the Knicks have changed since then. You know, they got Fizdale, who Wade said that, you know, a lot of players would love to play for him, you know, since, you know, he was their assistant coach during the Big Three, LeBron James, Chris Bosh team that they had a few years ago. But, you know, Durant did say never. So unless if he changed his word from never say never, you know, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should stop dreaming about other players coming
Amen.
To the Knicks, whether it be
Amen.
Kyrie, KD.
He ain't coming.
You know, it's like these players, I mean, the Knicks have been a disaster, you know, for a almost a decade now. And
almost?
I don't blame
almost?
You know, they've had some winning seasons here and there.
They've been a disgrace, a disappointment since 2001, with the exception of 2013. Although
yeah.
all the other two, like the other three times they went to the playoffs, you know, two of those times they got swept, and one of them they won a game, I think, against the Celtics. Like
yeah, series.
Come on, like other than 2013, they've been embarrassing. Like. They've been the anti Knicks.
Well, I mean, with the Woods under the Woodson era, they play well.
2013, yeah. 2013 it was with Woodson. That's what
well,
I'm talking about.
Well, with also what's his name before Woodson? You know, the coach who's now in Rock, I forget his name. You know, where they made the playoffs three straight seasons. Those were fun times. Those years when they remember when they went to the playoffs three straight years with Melo and Son.
Are you talking about when they got swept? Like when they got swept those times? And then they won one game against Celtics?
Well, yeah, they I know they lost one series to the Heat, but at least we went to the playoffs, you know? And they were competitive during that time under the
But that's what I'm talking about. But that was only 2013.
No, remember, they went to the playoffs three straight seasons with Melo and Stoudemire, remember?
And then they get knocked out of the first round each time?
Right, I'm saying, but
with the exception of 2013.
Well, I'm saying like they were at least during that they went to the playoffs and they were they were playing competitive. They wanted a complete embarrassment
if by some miracle you only win one game in the playoff in the first round, man, that's the bar that the Knicks set in the 90s and in the 70s and all those decades before it. You can even go back to the 50s where they lost. Three straight NBA finals. I mean, come on, the Knicks standard. I mean, they've been on a lot of rough times, you know, I mean, from the get go, I mean, in between, you know, I mean, with the exception of the 70s and the 90s Knicks team who actually, you know, they put the city on their back, even though they weren't able to get the title because of Jordan. But Knicks have been always, defense have been their calling card. And us being knocked out of the first round and getting swept most of the times when we do get to the playoffs, I mean, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable.
I'll take that compared to the garbage that's on the court these last several years. I mean,
you know what?
You know?
And I agree with you.
Unbelievable what's out on the court right now.
I'm being generous. I'll give you the team that we actually – I'll give you the time when we actually won one game. I'll give you that one, even though normally I don't really accept, you know, mediocrity of, you know, getting, you know, just winning a game in the first round. If you don't get out of the first round, I mean, it's like kind of a joke, you know.
Oh, well,
if you
make the playoffs at least, it's an accomplishment,
But if you get knocked out of the first round and you get swept, if you get swept in the first round, I'm sorry, you don't get a participation trophy from me. I'm sorry, man.
When you go to the playoffs rather than not going to playoffs every year and be garbage in the regular season. I mean,
dude,
come on.
If you get swept in the first round, man, you might as well not even show up like the 1904.
Yeah, I know it's bad. I know it's bad, but I'm saying like you're going to the playoffs. You know, that's an accomplishment so you could build on next year. Like right now, there's this team right now, the way they're playing, it doesn't look like they're going to the playoffs at all. At least,
yeah,
if we went to the playoffs last, If the Knicks went to the playoffs this year and got swept, that's a major accomplishment.
Yes, I agree. It's a major accomplishment. I definitely agree with you with that because, one, Porzingis is gone. I mean, he's been, optimistically speaking, he's going to come back after the All-Star break. He might be gone for the whole year. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And not to mention, we don't have any star players. We have some decent players. We have Cantor. You know, he's been a beast since he's been on the Knicks. He's been carrying the Knicks on his back, you know. Tim Hardaway Jr., I mean, he's played well this year, but he can never stay healthy. And, you know, he's trying to live up to that contract that he got paid. And then you got some young, talented guys, you know. Kevin Knox, he's hurt. He's going to be out for at least 2 weeks. I'm trying to remember that guy. What's the name of the guy? I'm trying to think of it. I mean, Burke, you know, he's played well. I'm trying to think of the Trio guy. Trio, I think his name is Alonzo Trio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's played well. Hizestova, I forgot how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed flashes, you know. But
just don't play defense. They can't.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Still don't play defense, and a lot of players are playing out of position. Yeah.
Yes.
Nikita
exactly.
Playing at small forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really have a true center right now. You know, it's not looking good. You know, they're what, 1-4 right now, 1-5.
I think 1-4. I think they are.
And
oh, 1-3.
1-5 or something when the Warriors come in.
Yeah, which is tomorrow. But, yeah, and that's the problem. The Knicks, I mean, they won the first game. They had their best performance hands down. You know, they start off slow in the first quarter. The fan made that $10,000 shot that ignited the team. They won on, what, a 49-point second quarter. And then they basically ran with that game.
Yeah.
Against the Hawks. And then after it was the second game, which was, in my opinion, was a must win, even though it was just game two of a 82 win season. I thought they had to get that game against the Nets, but they let that game slip away because, Tim Hardaway Jr. was guarding him. And as the play was going on, I was thinking they should have had Lance Thomas or Nil Aquino, or even worst case scenario, even Cantor. Since he has the height, you know, and the shot blocking ability to defend.
Right.
Tim Hardaway Jr., I don't even think he would even make my top five out of the starting five team, man. Like, this guy, he's horrible defensively. He had no business guarding him.
He's been playing well, though, you know, this year.
Yeah, offensively he's been playing well. But, man, he would be my last choice. Of guarding anybody. So, yeah, I thought that was a bad move. That cost us the game right there. Not to mention the Knicks, they weren't playing defense before. I mean, they didn't have a lot of turnovers up until that point, but, you know, they didn't play enough defense. They didn't score well. And that's been the whole problem with this team. They don't play defense. I mean, they've had spurts where they score, but then this last game, they got blown out by the Heat. And, you know, unfortunately, they're going to lose tomorrow night against the Warriors, which everybody knows that. It is what it is, man. But I agree with you. If they can somehow, by some miracle, make it to the playoffs, you know, I mean, I'll give them a credit. Because it's unlike the other, Melo and Stoudemire teams. Those teams were veteran teams. This team is a young nucleus of homegrown Knicks, not to mention guys who were former lottery busts who are, to their credit, they're playing their hearts out. And, you know, they're definitely earning their spot playing on the Knicks. But, let's see what happens, man. Hopefully they can improve and, help, you know, change the culture, the winning culture of the Knicks, because the Knicks desperately need it to attract some free agencies. And like you said, I'll believe it when I see it, if a player signs on the dotted line. Because the only time we sign guys to big money contracts, they end up being Joakim Noah, and Eddie Curry and all these guys who are busts that sign here. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, let's dive in to Roman Reigns, man. What a shocker, man. He had to relinquish the title because he had a battle of leukemia. And before he made the promo, I wasn't even looking. All I heard was his music, heard the fans booing when he came in. And then he said, he's been a guy who's been a fighting champion. But he lied to them. He can't be that man anymore because he's Joe, and his name is Joe, and he has leukemia. I was like, what? I literally turned around when he said that. And I'm like, what? Is he joking? Everybody was shocked, of course. And then I noticed he wasn't wearing his shield, his usual shield gear, his shield attire or the T-shirt, the shield T-shirt, the Roman Reigns T-shirt. He was wearing his regular clothes. So then, when he was saying, he gave his heartfelt speech, he got the fans behind him, for the first time since, shortly after they broke up the shield the first time. I never had an issue with Roman Reigns personally. I've had an issue of how WWE tried to force him down people's throat, Cena part two. But I mean, I always liked the character. I just felt like if they would have just gave it a chance for Roman Reigns just to dominate without it being so superly obvious that they're pushing him, I think the fans wouldn't have been booing him like this for the past couple of years, and making him face fan favorites like Daniel Bryan, eliminating Daniel Bryan and all those, Dolph Ziggler at the time, who was a baby face at the time. If they did it right, correctly, and made him win the Royal Rumble the year prior to that, when he eliminated 12, he wouldn't have had this much heat.
I
feel sad that he has to step down. And the rumors is that he's most likely going to take 2 or 3 years before he comes back. I mean, obviously, whoever reported that is not a doctor. But, I hope he has a speedy recovery. He seems like a good dude, I wish him the best, and I hope, he can come back better than ever. And, the other memorable thing that happened on Monday night was Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, they finally won the title. So, they finally got that tag team title back. And, Dean Ambrose finally is a champion with the Shield. Now the broken up Shield. And, I'm like, okay, they got it. And then, they're showing the celebration. I'm like, it splits like in my mind, I'm like, they're focusing too much on them they're not going to break. I mean, there shouldn't be anything else more. And then, I'm like, don't tell me he's going to turn. He's not going to turn heel right here. Sure enough, he kicked him and then hit the dirty deed. I'm like, oh, shoot. He did it, man. Oh, man. Everybody was shocked. It was such bad timing. I mean, I understand they wanted the shock factor, but come on, man. That was just such bad timing. Poor taste by WWE to do that. I know WWE loves to stick it to their fans, but come on. That was just bad timing. Come on.
They should have waited until next week to do that, not
I know.
Night when Roman announces he has leukemia.
Exactly. And the rumor is that they weren't going to do it on Monday night. They were going to wait until Survivor Series to do it. And, they made the decision after the announcement to turn him heel, which was shocking because usually when someone turns heel in a tag team match for the titles, when the person's trying to tag them in, like they said the Rollins was going to tag them into the match, then Dean Ambrose would have left them hanging, and then Seth Rollins would have got jumped by Ziggler and McIntyre, who, of course, broke up from teaming up with Braun Strowman the last week with McIntyre hitting Claymore kicks to him, severing their ties with the Monster Among Men. And basically, Dean Ambrose is a heel. And I mean, I think it's shocking. I mean, we all knew there was rumors that he was going to turn heel, but the timing was just so horrible.
Yeah. It should have waited a bit, I think.
Yeah. But shifting gears quickly, because we don't have much time. The matches I'm more interested, you know, I'm interested in this woman's evolution is Charlotte versus Becky, and I think Becky is going to lose it. Even though I'm rooting for her because WWE wants to make Charlotte an 8-time champion. Like, this is ridiculous. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going with Charlotte.
Yeah, definitely. And then with the women's. It's Trish Stratus and Lita versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. I could see it going either way. I guess I'll say Trish and Lita. I'll say Alexa versus Mickie James, even though I'm rooting for Trish and Lita. What do you think?
I'm going with Trish and Lita.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natasha, that's versus the Riott Squad. Hands down, the Riott Squad is going to lose. What about you?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose too.
And Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. Ronda Rousey, hands down.
Yeah,
right. Barring some miracle interference. Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. I think Kairi Sane will win, and then Shayna Baszler will be called up. Io Shirai versus Tony Storm. That's supposedly the Mae Young Classic tournament. I'm picking Shirai to win. What about you?
Yeah, same. I'm picking her too.
And the women's battle royale, I think it's going to be